You are listening to Phil Hewlett and Friends. I'm Phil Hewlett. I thank you for tuning in. This is the talk show where you get nothing but fun, informative, sometimes unexpected conversation about the stories you care about. You'll hear from the experts, authors, and others. And we hope to put a little smile on your face along the way. On today's show, did Prince have a powerful painkiller in his blood when he died? Is everyone having sex on prom night? Manny the movie guy talks a little Civil War. And how to really do Mother's Day right. Those stories and a whole lot more. Joining me in the studio today is a woman who can hold her liquor in one of those trendy reusable grocery bags you buy at Trader Joe's. Pink mohawk and all, LA radio badass Kelly J.
Well, you know, yesterday was Cinco de Mayo, so if you're a little hungover today, Phil, I've got some hangover remedies you might want to try.
You're yelling.
Yeah, I'm making everybody angry.
It hurts.
Now.
It hurts my brain. Hey, if you listen to this program really loud on iTunes, thanks for leaving a comment and a five-star review. You help the show when you do that because the folks over at iTunes, when they're not in a drunken stupor, they read your comments, they notice your five-star reviews. All right, let's get started, Kelly. Nice to see you, as always.
Thank you. Nice to be here again.
Yeah. The hair is perfect, may I say? Did you, like, just do it yesterday?
I just colored it yesterday,
yeah,
as a matter of fact. However, it is a little flat because it's rainy weather,
yeah.
So I know when I'm beat.
It's a bad hair day?
No, it's just rainy hair day.
Yeah, rainy, yeah. Southern California,
right?
Which is a rare thing in itself.
5 days out of the year.
And by the way, if you ever want to watch the show, you just go to the How to Listen page, which seems counterintuitive, but there is a link to watch the show live.
Oh, fun.
Yeah.
I did not know that. Hi. Hi.
Oh, hi, everybody. So what?
That's what those cameras are for.
Oh, I shouldn't pick my nose then.
All right. So did you tie one on yesterday for Cinco de Cinco?
Nope, didn't.
No?
Nope.
Me neither.
No.
I forgot to drink a beer, even.
I had a glass of wine, too, actually. But that was it.
Oh, that's just
my norm.
That's like normal day.
That's my norm.
Yeah.
Every day.
Right. I did tell my wife, I said, hey, Cinco de Mayo, we should go out and get some margaritos. That's how my grandma used to call
margaritos.
It. Well, let's go order some margaritos.
I love the older generation and how they don't say things correctly, but
it's Spanish. Well, she doesn't know from Spanish.
Nice.
Yeah.
I love it.
All right. Kelly,
yes.
So tell us, there's got to be a bunch of people hungover today.
A lot of people. So if you are and you want to try and get over, I've got a couple things from around the world that you might want to try. This one comes out in Namibia. When the Namibians tie on a bit too much, they drink something called buffalo milk. But guess what it doesn't have in it?
Buffaloes.
Milk.
Oh.
And buffaloes. But it does. This is gross. It has clotted cream from cows. I guess that's the closest we're going to get.
Mm-hmm.
Dark rum, spiced rum, cream liqueur, and whole cream. There you go.
Yeah.
Kind of their hair of the dog kind of thing there.
Clotted cream.
Clotted.
Is that when you leave it out?
I'm just going to say yes.
Or does it have clots in it?
Probably.
Or what kind of clot? That just sounds delicious,
it's just
doesn't it?
Well, the rest of it, I mean, if you're like that hammered, you're going to go pour some more booze into your body.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter.
Anyway, anytime you feel like correcting me, feel free. Fire at will.
I will.
Without mercy. is there a country called Namibia?
Something that makes this buffalo milk, yes.
Because I'm pretty sure there's a country called Zambia, and there's a country called Namibia.
Oh, Namibia. You're right. So correct me if I'm wrong and fire at will.
I'm pretty sure. Because there's that one person in the audience whose dynamic in his or her life is to sit on an easy chair and wait for somebody to make a mistake.
And they're screaming at me right now.
And they instantly become that internet troll that leaves all kinds of comments to belittle you.
Well, there you go. And it is Namibia.
Namibia.
Works for me.
So
where is that anyway? I don't even. It's a country, but where?
It's in Africa.
Okay.
Somebody's going to correct me. Where there's like 45 countries in the continent of Africa.
Good Lord.
Something like that. There's way too many. I lost count.
Being in the U.S., we're so limited.
I know.
I say we as the royal.
In our geographical knowledge.
Yes, exactly. Okay, so in Germany, I can spell that one correctly.
It's Germany.
According to your grandmother. They have a hangover breakfast, which is rolled. It's roll mops. It's called roll mops. Raw pickled herring wrapped in pieces of gherkin and onion.
Man, see, by the time you eat that, you forget about any other pain you have in your body because it's just like, what am I eating?
Point made. There you go.
Why don't I just run my tongue along the gutter and see what happens?
You know what? It'd probably be better than some of this stuff. Okay, so in Ireland, this isn't eating anything, but they think a good way to get rid of your hangover is to get buried up to your neck in wet river sand. And since it's really cold there, it's probably comparable to a wet or a cold shower.
You'll catch a pneumonia.
Right? All right, so out of the U.S., believe it or not, we actually have one of the nastiest things. It's called cowboys. In the Wild West, cowboys used to drink this tea made of rabbit droppings.
Oh, man. Why?
I don't know. It's just nasty. Well, because there was probably a billion of them. Like, hey, what can we use this for? Well, let's try it out. Oh, I'm feeling kind of good. Now.
Gosh.
All right, last one from Sicily. Three words. Dried bull penis.
Shouldn't that bull have moisturized?
Oh, no, no, no. Dried, you know, what do we have?
Like prunes?
Oh, gross. Those are even bad.
Oh, like beef jerky.
Beef jerky.
Yeah.
There it is. So,
it's more, it's more of a Slim Jim, though.
Yeah. Shriveled up, chewy, nasty bull penis. Yeah. So, you know, if that works, y'all can have it. I'm not going to try it. Uh-huh. I'll just stick to praying to the porcelain god the next
day. Here's an idea. It's a game you could play. If you download the show and then you know how to edit your audio, you get that little MP3 wave file in there and you pull out little things. You can turn them into your ringtone. Like when Kelly just said the filthy dried up bull penis, you can make that your ringtone.
Or in a notification. So when somebody texts you, dried bull penis. Yeah. Everybody be like, what in the...
That's a little game you can play.
There you go.
Faff ringtones. In fact, we should probably pull some ourselves and then sell them.
Oh, my God. That'd be great.
Yeah.
You could do that.
All right. Are we done with the hangover
Yeah, that's just gross enough right there.
All right. We've been completely grossed out. And I think that's the trick, too, is to get grossed out. Real estate, especially here in Southern California and in other places like San Francisco, New York City, I mean, it's just through the roof.
Ridiculous.
It's in the sky. It's outer space. That's how expensive it is.
Mm-hmm.
And so where are people now looking for, I don't know, available apartments?
Venus.
No way.
Yeah, Venus. They're
that
like,
that is
what?
Out of space.
Now, you know, everybody knows it's, you know, it's voting season. So everybody's threatening to go to Canada. But Venus is wide open and ready for you. So it looks like there are some alien hunters actually realize or think that there was some intelligent life on Venus that includes cities for its inhabitants. So they have this video that applied some 3D modeling to some images that the Magellan actually brought back. And they're saying that it looks like there's huge cities, artificial structures, and a bunch of elements that look like it could be some actual constructed buildings on Venus. Oh. So there you go.
All right.
If you can get there, have fun.
Yeah, but are they inhabited? Were they built in the last couple of decades, or built the last couple of hundred millennia?
Right? Yeah. We need to go find out.
And what do they build it out of where they're still standing?
I don't know. We need to go find out. It's probably cheaper than living here.
Yep. All right. The Minneapolis Star Tribune is the newspaper in Minnesota.
Minnesota, right? Don't you know?
Yeah. And that's where Prince lived and loved. He just loved the city, Minneapolis. Would never leave Minneapolis. Would never set foot in St. Paul, but loved Minneapolis.
Interesting. Yeah.
What do they have there? The Mall of America, right?
That is, yes.
And they have the Spam Museum in Minneapolis.
I missed that when I was there.
Spam, did you?
Spam, spam, exactly. Spam, spam. Yeah.
Anyway, the Star Tribune in Minneapolis there put out a report today that Prince had the painkiller Percocet in his system when he died. But nobody is saying yet that it caused his death, but it was in his system. Tribune also says it was an opioid overdose that caused Prince's plane to make an emergency landing in Moline, Illinois, the week before he died. Doctors there reportedly gave him the drug called Narcan to counteract the effects of whatever he was on. Related to that, Arsenio Hall has filed a $5 million defamation suit against Sinead O'Connor for claiming that he was Prince's drug supplier.
Wow. That's crazy.
Meanwhile, Paul McCartney played Minneapolis the other night and busted out some Let's Go Crazy in honor of Prince.
There you go. I'm so bummed because Prince, I mean, number one, Prince passing was sad in and of itself, but he just seemed very I don't know, he was just so much into what he put in his body. Very healthy, very, you know, conscientious and conscious about what he was actually ingesting. So it's kind of interesting. But I mean, if he that's not the official autopsy, obviously. Mm-mm. They're saying that.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
A lot of stuff's coming out, kind of bummed, but still doesn't make him any less amazing.
Do you do a 4 second 40?
What in the world is that?
You know, 40-yard dash. That's what the football players do when they're trying out. Do you do a 4 second 40?
No.
Are you fast? Are you fleet
of foot? If something is chasing me, I'm gone.
Yeah.
Gone. But I don't run for squat.
Me too. Well, there's a 100-year-old woman who is going to put you to shame. We'll tell you about her and a whole lot more in the next segment of Phil Hewlett and Friends.
In sports, speed is everything. When it comes to headache relief, speed is the only thing. Introducing Goody's Headache Relief Shot, the all-new liquid fast formula. Just screw off the top, down the shot, and knock back pain for fast, long-lasting relief. Leave headache pain behind with Goody's Headache Relief Shot. Available now at Walgreens.
I want to tell you about a spectacular dining experience. It's Portsacall Waterfront Dining, award-winning service and cuisine with a view of the dynamic L.A. Harbor from every seat. Enjoy daily sunset specials as well as the South Bay's best champagne brunch. The outdoor harborside patio is a perfect setting for happy hour every weekday from 3 to 8. Portsacall Waterfront Dining. For reservations and directions, visit portsacalldining.com or call 310-833-3553. Hey, welcome back. It's Phil Hewlett and Friends. So glad you tuned in because some people just don't get the cardio. The cardio they need to be good criminals. There's a 47-year-old guy out of Florida. There was a warrant out for his arrest, and on Monday, a cop went to his place to look for him. So when the dude saw the cop, he took off running. But unfortunately for him, he's in terrible shape, and he was so exhausted, after sprinting for 100 yards, he collapsed.
Ah.
When the cop searched him, the man had some meth on him, and he had even more in his truck, so he was arrested for drug possession, resisting arrest, and possession of drug paraphernalia. He's going to go to prison, where most of the guys are in really great shape.
Right. He's going to be somebody's girl.
But 100 yards? Come on. You can't do 100 yards?
I may not be able to do 100
yards. What's longer, 100 yards or 100 meters?
Isn't a yard longer than a meter by just a smidge?
Metric stuff. Math makes brain hurt.
Right? Yeah, no math in radio. Yeah. Thank you so much.
Right. Well,
there's this woman who will completely make me, and she does, make me feel completely crappy about myself. Her name is Ida Keeling. She's a great-great-grandmother. Okay, so we got a couple greats in there. She's from New York. She just set a new world record for the 100-meter dash for running a 1 minute 17 100-meter dash.
And she's 100 years old, and she ran a minute. That's 77 seconds.
Right.
100 meters, which is less than 100 yards.
You're doing
so
math again.
It's probably, I don't know, is it like, what, 82 yards, something like that?
It's longer than I can run.
Yeah.
Probably. I have no idea.
But that's like just a little more than a second per yard.
And she's like just boop, 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 boop. She's just boop.
What's that, 40 miles per hour?
You know what? Yes. Can you imagine? What a visual. And it was actually just days before her 101st birthday. So she's really 101 running a 1 minute 17 100 meter dash.
Yeah.
And she just set the world's record there. And then, of course, what does she do after she finishes to make us all feel doubly crappy about ourselves?
Shot of whiskey.
That, and then a few push-ups.
Oh, no.
Push-ups.
She didn't do a shot of whiskey.
No,
she did push-ups.
Probably not.
How
she
many
did
push-ups?
Some push-ups.
How many?
Who cares? She got down and she could get back up. Most people I know in their 50s can't do that.
Can I just say?
Yeah.
It's like girls who can't do push-ups, right?
I can do push-ups.
Remember they used to have lady push-ups.
Oh, those are so tacky.
The ones where you put
on your knees.
On your knee thing, yeah.
Whatever. As long as you're working out, I guess it's okay.
I mean, times have changed. I mean, they've got women in combat now.
Oh, yeah, totally.
You got to do all that
push-ups.
You do
the full-on plank push-ups.
Pull-ups,
yep.
And over
and the star ones where you put your hands together and touch your index finger and your thumb and do
that
hurts. Those freaking hurt.
I think my elbow. Some people have knocked knees. I think I have knocked
elbows.
Because I can't do that one.
That's hard, though.
My elbows won't bend that way.
Yeah, they do. They bend outward. Do it right now. Put your hands in front of you and then bend them towards you. Okay, see? You're totally doing it. You can do it. Of course, I would get down and smash my face into the ground, and that would be the end of it.
At this point, now my shoulders are starting to curl in.
See? You're just making excuses now, aren't you?
I am.
You're just
saying, oh, I'm a big wuss.
You need to go talk to Ida. She'll show you a few things.
I had talked to her a long time ago, but I forgot. Back on the 100 years thing, you know who John Malkovich is, right?
Yes,
he's the actor. We all want to get into his head, into his brain, right?
That would be a scary place, but yeah, it could be interesting.
He's a great actor, as a matter of fact. If you think about the John Malkovich movies that you've seen, and I can't. I don't remember what any of them are called, but they're great. Anyway, John Malkovich made a movie called 100 Years. But you will never see it. It's been locked in a safe that's not designed to be opened until November 18th, 2115.
More math.
2115.
Wow.
That's 99 years
from
now.
So, my kid won't even see it. My son, he's 7.
No, your son's going to live to 120.
He's going to be running.
Yeah, he will be.
100-yard dash.
Anyway, this is an attempt, supposedly, by Malkovich to predict what the future will be like 100 years from now.
That is such a cool idea.
Yeah. John wrote the movie. It was directed by Robert Rodriguez. You know who that is?
No.
He's the Sin City dude.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Okay.
Huge movie.
So how do they deal with that? who gets the royalties for when this thing comes out? You know what I mean? Because everybody that's in it, I guess it just goes to their families because everybody's going to be dead and decayed by that point.
Yeah. I don't know.
Huh. Yeah. Ah, look at that. Something they probably didn't think about.
Yeah. You like that one?
That's cool. I like it.
All right. I've got something else here. Now, this is this is for soccer moms.
Oh, okay.
Because who's a soccer mom's favorite rock and roll band?
Anybody that's usually pretty cheesy.
Yeah. Is it Train?
I'll go with it.
Train, right?
Okay.
They do a couple of songs here. Calling All Angels, mm-hmm. right? Hey Soul Sister and mm-hmm. Drops of Jupiter. Mm-hmm. Tell me. What's that song? Tell me. Is that what they say? Tell me. Anyway, for whatever reason, Train has decided to cover Led Zeppelin's second album in its entirety. That's the one with A Whole Lot of Love, Heartbreaker, and Ramble On.
Why is that just depressing? That's depressing. Why?
They're calling it Train Does Led Zeppelin 2, and
it's
coming
out
June 3rd, and the proceeds will be donated to charity. I don't know which charity, but the singer...
Or what proceeds.
The singer says... the singer's name is Pat Monahan, by the way, if you don't know his name. Here's his quote. They are so hard to record. I'd love it if people get a dose of what's hiding underneath Train's songs, our influences, but we basically did this for the fun of it.
Is that how he sounds?
Yeah, somebody wrote it for him and he just read it.
Oh my God. I wonder why they picked that band, that album, and just why.
Yeah, I don't know. It's like Flaming Lips doing Dark Side of the Moon. Did they? They did all of the Pink Floyd's something. Was it that one?
Is that the reggae one?
Or was it the Wish You Were Here? What did they do? With the Shine On Your Crazy Diamond. Did they do that too? Flaming Lips. They did a whole bunch of Pink Floyd, right?
I can't remember one, but they did do Pink Floyd.
Look at that. There's a whole remake of a Pink Floyd album that's done in reggae, and it's so good. Oh my God. I got to figure out who that is. I'll let you know, but look that up. Yeah, reggae. Pink Floyd redo.
And when you watch The Wizard of Oz and the lion at the beginning from the MGM logo,
mm-hmm.
when it roars, do you start your Pink Floyd Dark
I
Side
never
of the
knew
moon?
When to actually start it.
That's when
I
the,
knew
when
that
the lion roars,
up.
That's when you start.
You start it. Okay,
it
cool. See, all these crazy things from the 70s.
Yeah.
Gotta love it.
Here's something crazy. Speaking of gotta love it, Burger King added hot dogs to their menu back in February, mm-hmm. and it only took them 3 months to start getting weird on them. Or at least something that seems weird, but is actually pretty tame. Apparently, they just started testing a Whopper dog in Maryland. But even though it sounds like an unholy combo of a Whopper and a hot dog, it really just is a hot dog with lettuce, tomatoes, pickles, chopped onions, ketchup, and mayo. Which sounds like how hot dogs are in Philly.
Yes. Yeah. Just all the good stuff on there. I thought maybe since it was a Whopper dog that the dog, quote, was going to be just a hamburger shaped hot.
What do you like in your hot dog?
I don't know. It depends on my hot dog. Ketchup, spicy mustard. Give me some relish.
What do you think I was talking about?
Well, no, you know what I mean? But I thought it would be like the Whopper burger in a hot dog form.
I just like ketchup. I mean, not ketchup. I like mustard.
You don't like a ketchup?
I liked ketchup when I was a kid, and I've kind of graduated off of that, and now I just put mustard.
You know, now they're coming up with a plant that actually grows.
Hot dogs?
No. That would be good, though. No, it grows tomatoes and potatoes at the same time, so now you can have your... They're calling it the French fry and ketchup plant.
The French fry. And...
We can make anything nowadays.
Yes, in fact.
We can crossbreed anything.
Hold on a second.
Okay. I love when I spawn you off into something.
KFC, have you heard about this? They just released a nail polish in Hong Kong that tastes like fried chicken.
Why am I not surprised it started there either?
Nail polish.
Now, what it, ew.
And it's edible.
That's gross.
So you can lick your fingers and enjoy some chicken. You'll need another, what's it called when you get your fingers done?
Manicure.
Manicure. You'll need another mani because you're licking off all the...
Well, what are you going to do? You're going to put it on your toes, too? Go get a petty? Go get a KFC petty?
Yeah.
Have somebody suck on
do
your
you
toes?
Do you invite friends to... Here, taste my chicken.
Why can't you just take ketchup and put it on there? Or the grease from the chicken and put it on there? Why do you have to go to the polish thing?
I don't know. I keep getting this image in my head of like the sexy lady trying to put her fingers in your mouth and all that kind of stuff. And like you've got I don't know, like popcorn in your teeth. And
that's so gross. Not to mention it's just dirty. Blech.
Yeah.
Okay. Nope. Not going there.
They even made two flavors of the nail polish.
Oh, that's
original
nice.
And the hot and spicy.
Extra crispy.
Extra crispy. No, that's when you need your cuticles done. All right. Now, unfortunately, they've not said whether they'll bring it over here to
please don't.
U.S.
Oh, God, please don't.
Ugh. Did you go to your prom in high school?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I have a story about my prom.
Okay.
But does everybody really have sex on prom night?
I did.
Well, there goes that story. A teacher, get this, a teacher, she's an educator, she surveyed high school students about this and other prom activities that'll make you want to sign up for that chaperone gig if you're a mom or a dad.
Yeah.
And she joins us in the next segment of Phil Hewlett and Friends. Oh, later in our next segment, we're going to talk about how to detox your body in time for summer when you get out there and slouch around on the sand.
Yeah, I'm just trying to work out
with all that sludge in you.
Ugh.
And what really happens on prom night? Is everyone having sex? Speaking for myself, I did not have sex on prom night because my date, we were steadies. At the time.
Okay.
She was smoking hot, too.
Yeah.
And about 2 weeks before prom night, we're coming back from, I don't know what we were doing, something hot, like playing volleyball, you know? And we're driving home, and she's with her friend, and she's sitting in the back seat with her friend, you know, just to be a palsy or maybe to get a little security. And she, all of a sudden, we're driving, pops the question to me. She says, hey, you'd be okay if I... went to my ex's prom the night before ours, right?
Oh, creepy. Oh, that's creepy. Okay, go ahead.
And I said, no. You're
going
to pick one or the other.
Right.
And I said, if you have to go to his, we ain't going to ours.
Mm-mm.
You can have my ticket. I'll do that because I'm a nice guy. And they were only $40 back then. So
only?
Only. Because they're like $400 now.
Wow.
Yeah.
See, I was a chick. I didn't have to pay for that.
So
my steady.
So I, you know, that was a long time ago.
So did you go?
I'm over it. No, I didn't go.
So she went with her ex.
I hung out with my surfing buddy who didn't go either.
She went with her ex?
She went with her ex.
Oh, that's so, obviously you guys aren't
and
together.
And then she went with some dude who asked her, but she turned him down because she was steady with me at the time. And he was like this sad guy that she just used. And then they went in together on a hotel room. And a limo and all that. So I'm thinking, oh, she's had a busy weekend.
She's a bit worked.
Now, listen to this. Over a 20-year period, Deborah Ann Davis, an educator, informally surveyed her high school students on the topics of sex, drugs, and alcohol. She's the author of the upcoming book, A Girl's Guide to Good Guys, The Power of Being Picky and Patient.
Mm.
And she's here with us now. Deborah Ann, welcome.
Well, thank you. I'm pleased to be here.
All right, good. Let's hang on to that feeling as long as we possibly can. 20 years, that's a long time. You must have enough evidence to prove the answers in your survey to be conclusive then, right?
Yes, but the funny thing is, no matter how I display the results, my students never believe them.
Oh, really? What don't they believe?
Well, Well, basically, if I have a class that's like freshmen, they'll tell me that about 2 to 5% of them are having sex or messing around, and the rest of them aren't. But 90% of the kids believe that everybody is doing it.
Oh.
We do the survey, and they go, no, 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 that's not true, that's not true. And I said, well, who here lied? And they go, not me. So I said, all right, we'll do it again. So we do the same survey. I collate the results, and I bring them back the same numbers, and they still don't believe me. They are so convinced that everyone is doing it except them.
Wow.
You know why? Because everybody talks. Everybody talks the talk,
talk,
but they don't walk the walk.
Gossiping about each other.
Right.
As some kids like you to believe that they're very active, right?
That's right.
Because somehow they think that gives them cred.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Credibility. Now, look at the great lengths students go to when they ask someone to go to the prom. There's the elaborate
promposals.
Promposal. Then there's the dinner, the limo, the helicopter, the hotel room. Look, if I spend that kind of bank, I better get a little something something. You know what I mean?
Really, I can understand that. Yes, but the female's also putting out a lot of money for the gown and the hair and the nails and the shoes and the purse and the wrap.
Yeah, it's like a couple grand, isn't it?
Yes.
Well, I can tell you why I believe you're 2% having sex and the rest are not. It's because when you turn in that tuxedo, there's going to be cleaning fees, and you're not going to get your deposit back and all that sort of thing. And come on, I mean, it's just like that might cost you an extra couple $100 when you turn in that tuxedo if you're not careful.
Well, here's an interesting thing. When the freshmen were saying 2 to 5%, what do you think the sophomores were saying?
Oh,
higher?
Yeah, it was higher.
Does it increase as you go to your senior year?
It does.
Okay.
But the sophomores were a little less than 8%.
Huh.
I know. So if juniors and seniors, I just combined them because they're pretty much the same.
Yeah.
Under 12%.
Really?
So the answer to is everybody having sex on prom night, the answer is no.
Exactly. But the prom statistics is that about 14% of the attendees are. But the good thing about it is that now they're finding that the 87% of the teenagers are not embarrassed to admit that they're virgins. So that's one of the reasons why the numbers are staying low.
That's good.
Yeah, listen,
yeah,
look
like
at that. We're getting new hope in teenagers. So we thought that when we were in our teen years, we destroyed it for everybody to come after us, but apparently not. But do you ask other questions like, do they have safe sex? Do they have it in the parking lot of the hotel? Do they find a bed?
Simplistic. It was very simplistic. Are you or aren't you?
Oh, okay.
There you go. Yes or no?
Yeah.
Quick little questions, you know, and I asked about sex and drugs and alcohol.
Oh, what do they say about drugs and alcohol?
The drugs were very, very low. The alcohol was about on par with the sex results.
Huh. Now, where were you when you asked these questions? At what state, what city?
My first teaching job was in outside of Atlanta. And then I taught in, let's see, where did I go from there? Then I went to Hartford, and I taught there for about 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
And then I went to Colchester, which is rural farming community.
What a great cross-section of the landscape.
Then I went to New Canaan, which is on the Gold Coast of Connecticut.
Yeah.
And then I went to Coventry, which is a bedroom community outside of the University of Connecticut that has a high poverty level in it.
But no West Coast?
No. Mm-hmm.
Okay, because I can tell you West Coast kids, it's like 90%.
They're
having sex right now in class.
Listening to the show.
Every place I have been says that about their location, too.
Really?
Huh.
Yes.
Huh.
Everybody believes that it's rampant.
Now, I have a question.
Everyone believes it. They keep perpetuating the myth.
And look, I'm a grown adult, and I'm perpetuating it as well. Now, by the way, just to remind everybody, we're speaking with Deborah Ann Davis. She's written a book called A Girl's Guide to Good Guys, The Power of Being Picky and Patient. I want to ask you about that in a moment, Deborah Ann. But your bio says that you're 27. That means you started doing these interviews when you were in high school.
I taught for 27 years.
Oh,
okay. I was like, wow, you are a smart
kid. All right,
kid.
You need to fire whoever's writing your press releases then. Although, no, give them a raise if they say you're 27. Isn't that awesome?
Really?
Yeah. All right.
I knew then what I know now.
Oh, gosh. I say that every day of the week. Uh-huh. Man, I would have gotten so many chicks. So let me ask you this. Did you have sex at your prom?
Oh, no. Mm-mm.
No? Me neither.
A goodie. It's not what we did back then.
So look, how does this score with your surveys then? Out of the three of us here, there's you and there's me and there's Kelly over here. And she immediately, when I asked her before the break, did you have sex in your prom? Yes.
Yep. Couple times.
Couple times.
With a steady. Yep. Yeah, my mom just called me out, too. She's like, TMI. Okay, Ma.
Oh, gosh. All right. Now, the power of being picky and patient. The prevailing logic is that young ladies have no self-esteem, and they'll take any guy who tells her she's pretty.
That's not 100%, but that is happens an awful lot.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But it isn't just that, you know, because the media gets in their head, no offense. Mostly I'm thinking about magazines and stuff that say, this is the way you should look. And if you look this way, then you will be popular.
Yeah.
So when the kids say, I don't look that way, I'm going to have to secure my popularity some other way, then if they're not having sex and everyone else is, according to the rumors that are going around, then they really compounds how terrible that they feel about themselves.
Yeah. Well, let's go back a little bit, because when I was in junior high, high school, you know, obviously it was just print and newspapers and stuff, mm-hmm. and they didn't have Photoshop, they didn't have all that stuff, but still, I mean, they could airbrush a little bit, I guess. So that was like the mm-hmm. first Photoshop. So, but the changes that they did in the magazines wasn't as extreme as it is now, and even girls back then had, you know, body issue, image issues then.
Most likely, I'm older than you, and I can say the magazines when I was a kid had these phenomenally beautiful people on them, and I definitely did not look like them.
Oh, yeah, I didn't either. Still don't.
Did you want to look like Audrey Hepburn?
Oh, she was gorgeous.
She was beautiful, yes. But she was so simple and, you know, beautiful and just so...
And skinny.
Oh, mm-hmm. True. But she was a dancer, too, though.
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, boy.
But I think that does have a lot to do with
it. I raised three daughters, and I feel successfully raised three daughters. And I can tell you, all three of them had at least one friend that I recall who wasn't happy unless she had a boyfriend. And so she'd lose one, and the next day she had a new boyfriend.
That's the personality that got me to write my workbook. I had two girls come into my classroom when... after school one day, one of them crying, and she was apparently being stalked by an abusive ex-boyfriend.
Ooh.
And he was waiting for her at her locker. So these girls asked me if they could use my room as the locker. And I said, sure, but number one, you cannot bring the drama to my room.
Yeah.
And number two, you have to come and see me after school one day a week, and we're going to do a couple of little exercises on personality and boys and such. So my goal was to make her see what it is that she really wanted, not the images that were being put in her mind from the media, the boys, the girls in school, and then to focus her on aiming for what she wanted and not going for whatever came down the pike.
Mm.
So I ran into her about 5 years later, and she comes running out from behind the counter where she was working. Oh, Mrs. Davis, Mrs. Davis, and she was all excited. And she pulls out her wallet and shows me this cheat sheet card that we had made together that she had laminated and kept with her. And it was a list of the must-have qualities in a guy that she had determined on her own.
Nice.
And she said she pulled it out every time a guy wanted to date her, and she would hang out and be friends with them if they didn't fill out the list. But if they were on the list, then she would consider dating them. And then she says to me, I've been single for almost 2 years. At the time that I saw her, when she was about 16, she had been with one boy or another as a boyfriend since seventh grade.
Mm-hmm. Oh, my goodness.
Yep.
She was afraid to be alone. But the really cool part is that she called a friend over, and that girl pulled out her wallet, and they had made a little card for her, and they had been doing the exercises together. And this girl says to me, I've been single for almost 6 months. And they were very proud.
Cool.
And I was very proud.
How about that?
That's cool.
Everybody's favorite teacher, apparently, Mrs. Davis.
On that day, yeah.
Yeah. Deborah Ann Davis, her book, it's going to be out soon, and it'll be available in the store at philhewlettandfriends.com. The moment it is, it can be pre-ordered. It's called A Girl's Guide to Good Guys.
The Power of Being Picky and Patient. Deborah Ann Davis, thanks so much for spending time with us.
My pleasure.
All right, there she goes. That was
that
good
was
stuff,
cool,
huh?
Yeah.
All right, now I bet you can't wait till summer, but you still have all that winter and spring pent up inside you and you feel sluggish and bloated.
Mm-hmm.
Well, maybe now is the time to detox. We'll learn how to spring clean our bodies with Dr. Roberta Klein in the next segment of Phil Hewlett and Friends.
In sports, speed is everything. When it comes to headache relief, speed is the only thing. Introducing Goody's Headache Relief Shot, the all-new liquid fast formula. Just screw off the top, down the shot, and knock back pain for fast, long-lasting relief. Leave headache pain behind with Goody's Headache Relief Shot, available now at Walgreens.
Here's a great idea for your next outing, a cruise of the L.A. Harbor on a Spirit Cruises yacht. Whether you have a large party, a company outing, wedding reception, a reunion, or you need the perfect setting for a romantic evening, Spirit Cruises offers everything you need to relax and enjoy your time on the water. For a limited time, enjoy Sunday brunch at Portsacall Waterfront Dining right next door, and the first Spirit Cruises Harbor Cruise of the day is free. For more information, call 310-548-8080 or visit spiritmarine.com. Spring is the season of rebirth and rejuvenation. And Dr. Roberta Klein says it's also the perfect time to detox your body. I'm not sure how to do that, but lucky for me and for you, Dr. Klein is here with us to tell us all about it. Hi, Dr. Klein.
Hi, Phil. How are you?
Excellent. Even better now that you're here.
Thank you.
Now, tell me, what is inside of us that we need to get out?
Oh, this will be great.
Yeah.
Pretty much everything. Yeah. Pretty much everything. Our bodies are just a whole bunch of biochemical reactions.
Yeah.
And whether it's stuff that you're taking in from the environment or your food, or whether it's just your own internal processes, you have to get rid of a lot of waste products.
Well, is our body just not good at removing the waste? I mean, I thought that was part of the process.
It is part of the process, and actually it's really good most of the time. It all depends on how much junk you're producing. And so what's the burden on your body? And it also depends on how well your body processes actually work, and various things can affect that.
So you need a little help, but you're not talking about like coffee enemas or something like that, are you?
No.
Darn it.
No, just the basic requirements. I mean, we all need some pretty basic things. We need water.
Yeah.
We need nutrients, you know, vitamins, minerals, fiber. And we need, the outlet processes to work. So your bladder and your bowels all have to work to get rid of the toxins that you're producing.
Yeah. So what kind of a process am I looking at here? Does it take a couple of days or a lot longer?
Actually, this is something that goes on every second of every day.
Oh, so it's a lifestyle I take on, and I have to do it forever then.
Yeah, your body does it. Your body does it on its own, whether you help it or not.
Yeah.
And so the better you can, adjust your diet and your lifestyle to support what your body needs, the better off you're going to be.
Now, if I get on this process, can I still then continue to eat cheese and other forms of culinary, the equivalent of spackle? Can I just continue to eat all of these things?
It depends on your genes, actually, because your genes determine your food speaks to your genes.
Yeah.
And detoxification is no different. And so depending on your genes, you may be able to eat more or less of some of those less nutritious things.
Are we on our own? I'm sorry. Are we on our own when we embark on this, or are there trained practitioners out there to help?
There are lots of trained practitioners.
Yeah.
One of my missions is to help practitioners and their patients learn how to really personalize their diet and their lifestyle according to their genes to really optimize how their body functions and hopefully minimize the risk of disease and cancer.
So you're talking about doing this just the natural body way. You're not talking about doing these detoxes that you go and you buy at a nutrition store and you binge out on liquids for 5 days and all that. Am I correct?
Correct.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Yeah, those are, you can lose some water weight, and because they're essentially modified fasting, some people do feel a little better because they're just not putting a lot of external toxins in their body. But most of those actually don't give your body the things it actually needs to detox.
Yeah. Now, I want to have you elaborate more on the why, because you mentioned diseases and all of that. If we don't detox from time to time or continue to eat the foods that we need to help the body keep the toxins out. So
tell me more. What kind of diseases are we looking at if we just keep packing on the whatever it is.
Yeah. Yeah.
Whatever it is that's toxicity in our bodies.
Actually, almost every chronic disease. So we're talking about heart disease. We're talking about diabetes, obesity, autoimmune disease, depression, anxiety, autism, Alzheimer's disease, cancer, just about everything.
Yeah.
Wow.
See, it makes me think whenever I'm weird. When people talk about detox, you know what I think about?
What?
I think about when Elvis Presley died and how they always somebody, whoever they are, they say that when they did the autopsy, they found a 40-pound brick of fecal matter stuck in his colon or his lower intestine or
someplace. That's one thing you hear about that our body doesn't get rid of all that stuff. So you need some sort of a Roto-Rooter kind of thing to go in and get it all out there.
Yeah, but that brick that was inside of Elvis, was a giant glowing toxic brick that was making him sick and probably killed him, or was it just a blockage?
It's both because, not only do you biochemically process these toxins, but they have to get out of the body, and they get out of the body through mostly your urine and your stool. Also, sweat can do that. So if you're constipated and it's sitting there for a while, your body will reabsorb those toxins that you're trying to get rid of.
So that's what can then cause the diseases. Yeah. Yeah.
Now, what do you have to say to those people who do the coffee enemas?
I can't comment. Scientific data on that.
She can't talk to him because they're bouncing all over the place. Yeah. She can't catch them.
Oh, that's right. No, they have the most hyper little sphincters you've ever seen. I don't know. Roberta Klein is a doctor. She's an FACOG. What does that stand for?
It's a fellow of the American College of Obstetricians and Gynecologists.
Good for you. And you're the co-founder of Genomic Solutions Now and NCG Health Solutions, which work to teach practitioners and their patients how to use genomics? Genomics, is that how you say it?
Genomics.
Genomics to create personalized strategies for optimal health, something we all want. Do you have a website people can visit?
I do. If you're a healthcare practitioner, go to genomicsolutionsnow.com. If you're a patient or a general public, go to gsnuniversity.com, and you can. There's lots of resources there where you can learn.
Quick question, real quick. Do you find a difference between things that are organic and things that are not organic? Say a cucumber that's not and one that is. Is there a difference that's going to help this process?
Yes, in two ways. One, organic may be grown in soil that actually is richer in the nutrients that you need, and so they get absorbed into the plant. The other piece is that when it's not organic, there may be a lot of chemicals in that. Now, again, depending upon your genes, that may be a bigger issue or a lesser issue.
So I need to bite the bullet and actually pay for this stuff.
It can reap dividends for your life.
All right, I'm sold. She sold me.
All right. GenomicSolutionsNow.com for practitioners and GSNUniversity.com for all of us else who want to embark on a detoxification in our life. And it sounds like a good idea.
Yep.
Dr. Roberta Klein, thank you so much.
Thank you so much. Have a great day, guys.
You too.
All right.
Bye.
What do you think? You going to do this?
I'm trying really hard to, but I think I'm going to do the organic thing now. You want to do good for your body, but...
You just drink a lot of beer and then just crap it all out.
Boom. Right?
Yeah.
Cinco de Mayo. Done.
This is why I'm not your doctor. Oh, that's it for the first hour of the program. It goes by so fast. We have so many great stories coming up in the second hour, like what not to get mom.
Mm-hmm.
Are kids just a bunch of wimps these days? Plus, Manny the movie guy is going to not only review Captain America: Civil War, but he has his top 10 superheroes of the last 25 years.
I can't wait for that.
And Sophie Grady joins us. She's an author and also says, why just Sunday? How about the 12 days of mom?
12 months of mom.
Well.
365.
Now we're getting a little out of hand. That and more coming up in the second hour of Phil Hewlett and Friends. Next. You are listening to Phil Hewlett and Friends. This is hour two of the talk show where you get nothing but fun, informative, sometimes unexpected conversation about the stories you care about. You'll hear from the experts, authors, and others, and we hope to put a little smile on your face along the way. Some of the stories we're working on for this hour. Kids are bonking their heads like crazy on the playground, but are they doing it anymore, or are they just wimps about it? what not to get mom for Mother's Day, and the food that she'd really like to eat, and a whole other bunch of stuff that you should know about mom, including, how about celebrating her for 12 straight days? You think you could pull that off?
Months.
Hard enough to do one day of celebration. And Manny the movie guy is going to be here. He has his top 10 superheroes of the last 25 years. Can't wait to hear that. Here in the studio with me today is a fireball of energy, L.A. Radio Badass. She likes that title.
I love that.
Kelly
it's
J.
It's true. Hello, everyone.
I'm Phil Hewlett. Thanks for tuning in. So we get things started this hour with this whole playground thing.
Mm-hmm.
There's a study out, and kids are just falling out of trees left and right.
More so monkey bars and swings is what's causing their problems. Basically, they've been doing this research about playground concussions, and it looks like it's actually on the rise. Now, we know when we were kids, man, we were out there and they had the paint chipping off and we'd fall and bang our heads and ride skateboards with no helmets and
we
all
didn't
that
get lead
stuff.
Poisoning. We
right?
didn't. Maybe we had concussions, but we just didn't whine about it.
I think a lot of us probably
well,
were
look,
suffering.
You know what? We didn't whine about a lot of stuff because our parents would have just yelled at us.
Right?
I snapped my leg in half in the driveway playing basketball mm-hmm. with my buddies. And I'm screaming and yelling and cussing, you know, because I'm like 15 or so.
Yeah, of course.
And my friends get my dad to come out, and, you know, he opens up the garage door, takes a look at me. He's like, you're fine. Get up. And he goes back inside. Half an hour later, my friends ring the doorbell, and I said, you know what? He's still laying there. Oh, God. All right. Well, let's get in the car. Come on. We'll go to the hospital.
I had a car back into me, and I landed on my knees and, like, went under the back of the car, and my mom took me shopping that night.
Oh,
so,
great.
Yeah.
And you were in pain, but you
totally.
Loved it.
I loved it. I survived, right? Okay, so basically, the Center for Disease Control and Prevention, they've examined national, like, 2001 through 2013 data on playground injuries. So, and they about 14 and younger, so is where they're who they're looking at, and who received emergency room treatment. So,
yeah.
Of almost 215,000 kids on average treated yearly, about 10% or 21,000 have traumatic brain injuries, including concussions. So, it's gone up.
Yeah.
You know, since like 05, they've kind of seen like a major increase. And of course, the biggest, you know, are coming from boys because
yeah.
the boys are crazy. My son, who's 7, just asked me the other day, Mom, can you climb on the top of monkey bars? I was like, oh, Jesus, here we go.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yes.
But you know what?
These
days, parents treat their kids like they're made of fine china or
right?
paper mache or
yes.
whatever it is that they're going to break into little pieces if they
bump their heads.
If a mosquito bumps off their forehead.
Right.
While they're riding their bike. Oh, God forbid you let them ride their bike. They might fall and get hurt.
I just worry. I do have my son wears helmet.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I mean, I've seen my kid fly over the handlebars and, like, just wreck his face.
Yeah,
and
the elementary school my daughters went to,
mm-hmm.
they outlawed running.
Yes. Is that insane or what? They can't do anything.
At my school... I mean, at least at my daughter's school, they had grass everywhere in the playground.
Yeah.
And then they had that stupid rubber neoprene stuff that they do instead of sand.
Oh, I like
monkey
that, though, because it doesn't get in the shoes.
Yeah, right. But maybe it's causing concussions. But anyway, they had all of that soft stuff. Back in my day, at my elementary school, we had a blacktop.
Right.
Where the monkey bars were and where the baseball kickball field was.
Yep.
And we were out there playing tackle football.
And we did
and
some
we
crazy stuff and loved every minute of it.
I remember playing tackle in the street in front of my house and
mm-hmm.
bumping into Kurt Nigrinelli's head with my head and walking in the house with a puffed up eyebrow. And my mom said, here's an ice cube.
Right. Put it on and go sit down.
Yeah.
And then
time,
get out of the house.
I'm popping wheelies.
Right.
And I go a little far over the top, and I hit the back of my head in the middle of the street.
Yep.
Walk inside the house crying. I was, get back out there and play.
I used to lay down on my skateboard and go down a hill with no helmet on. And just, you know, you'd wipe out at the end. You'd get up, rub off the whatever stuff is dug into your skin, and go back to the top of the hill.
Parents today would be in therapy seven
yes.
days a week if you tried to do that.
Uh-huh.
Oh.
Toughen up, people.
So,
your
I don't
kids
know.
Are fine.
What we're trying to say here is I don't know if there's more concussions these days or if we're just reporting them more
just
because
reporting
we're
them.
So... We're treating our kids with kid gloves. That's what kid gloves are for, right?
Yep.
Or they're
punch them. Punch them.
Kid
I'm
gloves.
Kidding.
They're made out of baby cows. That's why they're called kid gloves.
Oh, I didn't need to know that.
All right. So mom has psychosis, obviously, because she's raising you like a bowl of china. a china bowl, not a bowl of china. Boy, that would be a big bowl, wouldn't
that
it?
That would be a huge bowl, yeah.
But there's certain things. We're anything if not helpful here. There are certain things that you should not get mom for Mother's Day.
Yes. Yes. You should get her what she wants, not what she needs. So if she's been looking at a vacuum because that one doesn't suck right, or if she's been looking at a washing machine because that does suck,
yeah,
don't buy it for her for Mother's Day. Just don't, because that's just telling her, okay, keep up the work. Keep up the cleaning.
Rule of thumb, if it plugs in, don't get it.
Right? Here's another one. Those, like, stupid signs that say something like, good moms have sticky floors, messy kitchens, laundry piles, dirty ovens, and happy kids. Seriously? Seriously?
No.
What are you saying to me? That my house looked like crap?
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I don't want that either. Thank you so much. A book on how to be a parent.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. That just basically says you've been totally, you know, wrong to this point. So let's help you along a little bit.
Hey, Mom, you suck.
Totally. And pretty much anything that reminds her of where her boobs used to be before she nursed you. Yeah.
Oh, like a diet book or an exercise book.
No. Anything that lifts them back up to, like, where they were.
I'm not buying my mom a push-up bra.
I hope not. Good man. There you go.
Why would I do that?
Because guys and kids, sometimes wish for things that they just shouldn't get.
For their mom or for their wife on Mother's Day?
For their wife. Well, wife is a mother's, you know, mother too. So, yeah.
Well, any excuse to buy lingerie is a good one? Is that what you're saying? No, it's not a good
idea. We don't want to do that. But she does want sleep.
All right.
Let her sleep.
Now, if you're taking your mom out for brunch or dinner on Mother's Day, mm-hmm. I don't know how you got a reservation, but you're one of those people who did. Do not go anywhere where she might find herself eating lettuce, apparently. A survey asked women what kind of food they want on Mother's Day, and only 1% said salad.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah. So I want something special.
When you're picking the restaurant, here's what they do want. And we're going to work our way up from salad,
okay,
which was 1%. 2% burgers or sandwiches.
Yeah, that's an everyday thing.
Hey, Mom, here's a sandwich. A sandwich? Or is it a sandwich?
It's a sandwich.
All right.
Yeah.
7% said breakfast food.
Yeah, they want breakfast in bed. That'll work.
Yeah?
Yeah. It's kind of hard to eat, but good enough.
8% barbecue.
Oh, that's mine right now. Yeah. That's what I want.
Well, see, I don't mind that. I'll put on the gloves and get the giant tongs and fire up the...
No, I want to go somewhere.
Even though
my hubby barbecues amazingly. I have my mind set on a
place. The thing
right
is, if I'm barbecuing in the backyard, chances are you're going to be cleaning out some of the pans, right?
No.
No?
No, not on Mother's Day. All right. I'm going to be sitting there with a big old glass of wine.
9% said chicken. Just chicken.
Just chicken?
How about those fingernails?
How about
those? Taste like chicken.
I was just going to say that. Yeah, honey. Here's a polish.
12% said buffet.
Oh, yeah.
That's the mom you get the diet book
That's
for.
That's a Midwest thing. Yeah, totally. It's cellulite cream.
16%. We're not even at the top. This is number 3. 16% said steak. I think that might be higher.
That's good, though. I could go for that, too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Number 2, 18% said Italian, Mexican, sushi, Greek, or something else that's international.
Okay. That's just too big of a
something other than
choice.
American food.
Yeah, American food. Don't want no burgers.
Yeah, give me some of that Italian. Or the number 1.
Mm-hmm.
We haven't had that yet. Number 1, 26% said seafood. I think they're saying, get me the lobster, honey.
Yes, the full lobster with the pinch of crackers and all. Oh, yeah, you
spending
money.
Now, if you're getting a restaurant and it's seafood, and chances are it's not a table for two. It's a table for like 14 or 16, right?
It's a big bill.
Yeah.
It's a big bill.
It's like a $1,000 bill.
Uh-huh.
Huh?
Yep, especially if everybody goes for lobster.
Yeah.
Yep.
Lobster.
Lobster. It's good stuff, though, man.
Oh, by the way.
Yes.
It's on. It is on this weekend at the theaters. Manny, the movie guy, joins us with his review of Captain America Civil War. And he has his top 10 superheroes of the last 25 years. You do not want to miss that in the next segment of Phil Hewlett and Friends.
In sports, speed is everything. When it comes to headache relief, speed is the only thing. Introducing Goody's Headache Relief Shot, the all-new liquid fast formula. Just screw off the top, down the shot, and knock back pain for fast, long-lasting relief. Leave headache pain behind with Goody's Headache Relief Shot. Available now at Walgreens.
Here's a great idea for your next outing. A cruise of the L.A. Harbor on a Spirit Cruises yacht. Whether you have a large party, a company outing, wedding reception, a reunion, or you need the perfect setting for a romantic evening, Spirit Cruises offers everything you need to relax and enjoy your time on the water. For a limited time, enjoy Sunday brunch at Portsacall Waterfront Dining right next door. And the first Spirit Cruises Harbor Cruise of the day is free. For more information, call 310-548-8080 or visit spiritmarine.com.
Okay. Time to see what the movie companies have in store for you at your local Cineplex. Joining us now is a man who just this week hit a milestone, and thanks to his supple skin and youthful disposition, we have no choice but to conclude that milestone is his 19th birthday, KMIR-TV Palm Springs movie reviewer, Manny the Movie Guy.
Manny!
Thank you.
Happy belated birthday, my love.
Oh, thank you so much. It's it's what we all call here Cinco de Manny.
did you celebrate?
Of course, I party hard.
Oh, yeah.
And it's the whole month, by the way.
Yes, and I think when we opened the show today, we found that the best cure for a hangover was what was it? Rat feces?
Oh yeah, you have no bunny. Yeah, bunny.
Bunny feces.
Bunny feces.
Rabbit poop tea. There you go.
Oh, that was my favorite childhood book.
Was it?
Rabbit poop tea. Mommy, read me rabbit poop tea again.
It doesn't quite taste like bunny poop tea, but my cure for hangover is always menudo.
Menudo.
There you go.
Filipino style.
No, the Mexican style.
Really?
Oh, it's lots of innards and stuff.
Innards. Oh, gosh. Love me some innards.
That did come from a different country, by the way, on
yeah.
my list.
Right.
Yeah. Oh, it's a big weekend. It's so big. The movie that's out has scared away all other movie companies from releasing anything worthwhile. Well, let's say box office worthwhile. There's probably some real good movies out in like two or three theaters. But Captain America Civil War is more or less the only movie new that you're going to see at your local Cineplex.
A big one. You're right. And it's the phase. It's the beginning of the phase three of the Marvel Cinematic Universe. And actually, Captain America Civil War does a good job in continuing the narrative from Avengers Age of Ultron, while teasing us on what's to come. This one, though, is like a smorgasbord of superheroes. This one has it all. Well, almost. There is Robert Downey Jr. He's back as Iron Man.
Yeah.
Scarlett Johansson as well as Black Widow. They even add a very young Spider-Man and the recent star of the Marvel Cinematic Universe, Paul Rudd as Ant-Man. There's a lot of cramming many stories into one action-packed movie is hard to do. But this one succeeds. Unlike the recent Batman versus Superman, Civil War knows how to entertain and make you think at the same time while introducing new characters into the fold. But this one is very, very similar, though, with Batman, Superman. You know, there's the two dueling superheroes, and this one is about the government. The whole issue is should the government control the Avengers? Captain America says no.
Yeah, but instead of just two people fighting, it's like 12 people fighting, right?
Yes, they each Team Captain America and Team Iron Man, because Iron Man wants the government to control the Avengers. And I, you know what? This one is affecting, funny, and deeply entertaining. Go to battle with Captain America. It has many great action scenes, especially the 15-minute airport scene. You will love that scene. It also has enough heart and stay through the closing credits, because you're not getting not one, but two surprises.
Oh.
Now, go ahead,
because I have a question.
It's kind of funny that you know, this is coming out, and we have, like, the whole voting thing going on, you know, the whole political presidential thing running, and it's running very parallel with very strong divides, you know what I mean, with, like, people battling.
Good. You know what? If you really read between the lines, Captain America is more like a libertarian, if you may, a la Bernie Sanders, maybe, and the other one is more of a Democrat, Iron Man, wants the government to control Avengers.
Yeah, all right, and how about Black Panther? Isn't he in this one? Do they introduce him?
T'Challa, yes. T'Challa is there, and I'm not giving anything, but there's a big surprise for him at the end as well.
Oh, yeah, the big surprise is he gets his own movie.
Yeah.
That's what I'm guessing.
Yeah.
I'm just guessing. I didn't ruin it for anybody, did I?
You know what, though, really? I am a DC comic boy at heart. I love my superheroes with capes. You know? With beautiful capes. But, you know, Marvel Comics universe is just amazing in creating their story and building their universe. You know, I mean, look, we're now in phase three, which began with Iron Man in phase one way back yonder. It felt so long ago now, 10 years ago.
Yeah. Now, you know what I like for superheroes, and I don't know, you're going to give us a list here in a minute, but who I like, and tell me if I'm correct, because I think he's finally, after all these years getting a movie, The Punisher. Have you heard about The Punisher? Do you know about him?
You know what? I haven't heard of The Punisher movie, but you know what? Yeah, remember the late 80s or early 90s Punisher movie?
I don't.
No, I don't remember.
There was one, I think, and that was when Marvel was trying to find their groove.
Yeah, it was too soon. They weren't ready for prime time. I mean, now, if you're not making a superhero movie, you're an idiot in Hollywood, right?
Right, exactly.
Yeah. All right, so you have a list of the, what is this, the top?
Inspired by both Batman versus Superman and Captain America. It's the best superheroes, my list of the best superhero movies created in the last 25 years.
The movies or the superheroes themselves?
The movies.
Oh,
superhero film.
All right, let's start, you're going to start backwards, right, with 10?
Yes, let's start backwards. Ready?
Yes.
Number 10, Batman Returns.
Okay.
Love this film. Who can forget Michelle Pfeiffer as the feisty Catwoman, really?
Ooh, I like
her. She was a hottie.
Yep.
Number 9, it's another Batman. This one's Batman Begins, the first of the Christopher Nolan trilogy, and the first to really go deeper into the psyche of our hero, before Marvel even did that.
That's the one with Schwarzenegger as Iceman, right?
No, not quite. This one is the one with Christian Bale, the very first one.
Oh, wow. Gotcha. Okay.
Number 8 is Captain America, the Winter Soldier. It plays like a 1970s conspiracy movie full of suspense and political twists. But you know what? This one is also funny.
Oh, good. Yeah.
Number 7 is X-Men Days of Future Past, the most entertaining and smart film of the franchise with great acting, affecting storyline, and a witty sense of humor.
Okay.
Number 6, Spider-Man 2, the Sam Raimi's masterpiece, not the recent one. We didn't even need the new one.
No.
Mm-hmm. This one is the best one, I think. At least the first one and two.
Yeah, all right.
Number 5, the first Iron Man. It was a huge gamble for Marvel Studios with a little-known superhero and an actor who was considered washed up back then, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But like the character, Robert Downey Jr. got his groove back in a superhero movie that set the course of the Marvel Cinematic Universe.
I agree. That's my favorite Iron Man movie.
He's a hottie, too.
Yeah,
right?
He is.
And it quickly erased the Robert Downey Jr. that we have in our memories of his drug-addicted past. Remember?
Oh, yeah, that's right. He was the people wrote him off because he was...
Here in Palm Springs. He was found in a house here in Palm Springs.
Oh, my Lord.
You didn't try to rehab him, did you?
No. You know what? I think he went here, too. The Betty Ford Center. I was going to say Betty White.
The Betty White Center.
I want to go there.
All together.
Yeah, that's where they teach you one-liners. All right, what's
number four? Four is Guardians of the Galaxy. I enjoy this film. I love watching it.
Yeah, I like that a lot.
Number 3 is Marvel's The Avengers. Mm-hmm. Joss Whedon gave us a superhero movie where the characters are delicately developed amidst all explosions and 5 million characters of them.
Yeah. You know? Oh, yeah, right.
Number 2, I love this one. It's a little off the wall, but I love The Incredibles.
Yeah. That's why when you said capes, I was like, no capes.
Because really, it's a cartoon, but look at it closely. It's a smart deconstruction of a superhero movie that now Marvel and Christopher Nolan has been doing.
Yeah.
What really is a superhero, that kind of thing.
It's great that it's number 2.
My favorite superhero movie of the last 25 years, it still is The Dark Knight. I love, love, love this film. I remember watching this. I got invited to watch this film a few weeks in advance. I was so excited. We drove from here to Universal Studios directly, and I didn't have... Yeah, it's 2.5 hours long, but I didn't go to the bathroom, even though I wanted to. I couldn't leave.
So you just crossed your legs really tight, right?
I crossed my legs and prayed that, that nothing would happen. Those are the days when I needed the pens.
Oh, there goes the whole idea that Manny had his 17th birthday yesterday.
Right?
Right, exactly. But I look like 19, right?
Yes.
Of course you do.
Or 12.
Hey, Manny, is there anything else worth looking at this weekend at the movies?
What? If you guys want to go to your on-demand, there's a sweet, sweet, sweet movie that I enjoyed, and this one is directed by no other than Jason Bateman. It's called The Family Fang. It's a smart dramedy. Jason Bateman and Nicole Kidman play siblings. Both were raised by parents who love playing practical jokes, so when they suddenly go missing, the siblings must investigate. Is it foul play or an elaborate hoax? The parents are played by Christopher Walken, the fantastic Christopher Walken.
Love him.
Dad, and Marianne Plunkett is the mom. Find this on demand because I really, really loved it. You know what? Bateman, who also directed the criminally underappreciated Bad Words, is a good storyteller and he's excellent with dialogue and pacing.
It's almost a superhero movie, too, because you have Bateman and Kidman.
Oh, ba-dump-tish.
And with a family with a last name Fang, yeah.
May I just say, if I grew up and Nicole Kidman was my sister, I think that is just way too much pressure.
Yeah.
Right? Her icy stares.
Yeah, right. I think I'm just moving out when I'm 12.
Yeah.
You know, before puberty kicks in. I'm not watching my Nicole Kidman sister getting changed in the next room.
Yeah.
Right. Exactly.
I'm out before something bad happens. Is that so wrong?
Yeah, kind of.
Okay, thanks. Right. And thank you, Manny. Go to MannyTheMovieGuy.com. Go there often and look at his video interviews with the stars who love him. And do you have any birthday videos on the website, Manny?
No, not yet. But yeah, I'm so excited. I'm on my way actually to Hollywood to go see X-Men Apocalypse. I can't wait for that.
Oh,
nice.
God, you're so lucky.
Yes.
Manny, we'll talk to you next week. Have a great weekend at the movies.
Thank you.
Bye, Manny.
All right.
Thank you again. Bye.
Bye.
He's so right. cute.
Yeah. Your mom deserves a heck of a lot more than you're doing for her this Sunday.
Ugh.
I mean, really, she does.
I know.
Our next guest will tell you how to celebrate the 12 days of mom.
12 months.
Days.
All right. Baby, I'll leave it
baby in. Baby steps,
days.
Please. She joins us in our next segment of Phil Hewlett and Friends, right here. Here are a few ways to make your mom feel special this weekend without breaking the bank. Get her a bouquet of balloons or a bouquet, depending on what part of the country you're from. It's either a bouquet or a bouquet of balloons instead of flowers. Get her the ones that have helium in there.
Yes, yeah, so you can
listen
to your mom talk like this.
Suck some helium, Mom. Cook her favorite meal at home and give her the day off by helping her around the house. And those are the simple things.
Here's my one thing. I don't want to get angry.
Well, there, see?
There
that
you go.
Shouldn't be
simple.
Too hard to do.
Let me sleep in and don't make me angry.
But see, it's just one day.
Yeah.
And imagine I'm your mom all of a sudden. I'm going to sing. There should be a song. On the 12 days of Mother's Day, my good-for-nothing son gave me a teddy bear and some melted chocolate strawberries he left in the car.
Are we rolling tape on this?
Colleen Grady has been on the show several times. She's the author of the book, Dial Down the Drama, and she's here with us now. Hello, Colleen.
It's great to be here.
Of course. We always have fun when you're here.
I especially loved your song.
Oh, good. Thanks. You can use it. I didn't copyright it or anything. Hey, why can't we figure out Mother's Day?
Yeah. So
it's hard.
Yeah.
Because moms are complicated.
Yeah. So I would say it starts with thoughtfulness. I put a Facebook post out and I said, what do you want, moms? And all the answers were completely different, of course. But it made sense. So, like, if you are a mom with young children, you want some time alone. You want to have your own time. And if you have older teens, you want to have quality time. And if you have older kids outside of the home, you want that quality time, too.
Hmm.
So I think it starts with thoughtfulness.
You know, you're making me feel bad by saying that because I'm thinking, all right, great. I'm not a thoughtful guy.
Well, I know. But if you want to hit the mark.
Great.
Yeah.
Nicely played.
So if you want to hit the mark. So they say there's five love languages.
Five love languages.
All yes, right.
Okay,
yes.
I'm writing these down.
Yes. So part of it is thinking, what does she like? Does she like time? Does she like quality time? Does she like words of affirmation? And most moms do, actually. Does she like service? Like, that you just kind of volunteer, you know what? You've been talking about, you know, doing something with that middle room, and we're going to do that.
Yeah.
Does she like gifts? Yeah, of course moms do like gifts.
Just the right ones, right?
The right gifts,
yeah.
There's so much pressure with gifts.
I know. And then she may just like a big hug.
Oh, come on.
See, no, that is totally me right there.
That's you?
I
was going to say, where's that mom?
Me, hi.
That's you?
That's me.
So on the service thing, so if we cover her face in that green mud and put cucumbers on her eyes and wrap her head in a towel, will she be happy? Is that because you get the impression on TV that's what women want? They want the cucumbers on the eyes and the green mud on their face.
I think that falls under that service part. Right
is that
there.
Is that do women really want that?
That comes along with that time alone, or you know, time quality time.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. interesting. And then a lot of moms said they just don't want drama. And some of them said, I just want my kids to clean their room. Everything I've been telling them for 365 days, like do it for Mother's Day.
You know what? It sounded like a raccoon just ran across your desk there a moment ago. You don't have a pet raccoon there in the office, do you?
No. Okay. No, he's gone.
He's gone.
Now, it's hard enough coming up with something to do on one day that will sufficiently honor and impress mom. But how do you suggest we extend Mother's Day out to what you're suggesting here for today's conversation, to 12 days?
Wow. <I know.
laughs> See, doesn't that sound good?
It sounds
challenging.
It sounds like I'm going to just kill myself.
Okay, well, it can be very, very simple things. So for example, and you would want to get the kids involved. So if it's like maybe the kids could surprise mom and everything is picked up on one day. It's writing a letter of appreciation. So a big thing for moms, and it is about being appreciated. Because we're doing a lot of daily repetitive tasks, and the thing that gets under our skin is when we feel like we're being taken for granted, or especially if we have an entitled teenager. Yeah. So if someone writes us a note and says, we really appreciate that, and we see all the things you're doing, that goes a long way.
The writing part, you'd think a guy like me would be a good writer.
Yes.
Yeah, but it's like, what? I got like English and stuff. I got to write that.
You can't write with your hand.
Dear hun, you're not my mom, but you raised an entitled teenager, so you must be doing something right. Well, that wouldn't get me very far, would it?
No. Well, the entitled teenager part, but the not your mom part, that might just backfire on you. Yeah.
It might? Okay.
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying? Okay, so little things. So clean up the house or something one day. Maybe take her out for some tacos the next day. I don't know. What do you do?
Well, okay. So that's where it comes back to thoughtfulness. So she may not like Bud's barbecue.
Yeah.
She may not like a nice sit-down dinner. Mm-hmm. So you think of a place to take her that she likes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
Now, can I count yesterday, for instance? I mean, like, you know, my wife and I stopped at this little, like, one of those places that all they have on the menu is crab and shrimp and crawfish. One of those places, and they bring it out in a bag with the hot sauce and the corn and the potato and the whole thing.
But did she expect you to take, I mean, did she know you were taking her? Did you surprise her?
It was her idea.
Oh, well, then it doesn't count.
It's never my idea. It's always her idea.
It doesn't count.
My ideas suck. And you know how I know that? Because she tells me.
Okay, so this comes along the idea of paying attention. So if your wife says, you know, I would love to have that purse. I would love to have that purse. I would love to have that purse. Then.
I better get that purse.
Right.
And then she'll be really happy.
I do take notes. I take notes. I save them. And then I forget to look at my notes.
Well, it's so funny. I had a man ask me, he said, well, okay, I mean, if I'm a husband, do I have to, like, do anything for Mother's Day?
Oh, for God's sakes. Seriously? Do you have kids? Yes. All right. There you go.
Well, you know, and the trouble is, for me, the kind of work I'm in, I'm working on Mother's Day.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Me too.
Yeah. And I could bring my, I guess it, bring your wife to work Mother's Day?
Yeah. Your wife to work day?
Yeah,
she doesn't want to go there.
You know, I'll be back around, you know, like a late dinner, but restaurants are so crowded on Mother's Day. If you didn't make a reservation like 3 weeks ago, you can't get one. But let's say you did get one. Is a meal out with a whole grip of people, like 14 people or so, is that a good or a bad thing on Mother's Day?
Well, if that sounds good to her, then it's good. Mm-hmm. So
sounds like a hassle. All those the restaurants.
Listen to you.
A lot of angry people. I had a reservation. It's like 2 minutes past my reservation time, and everybody's upset. You know,
I'm hearing excuses.
No, it's like everybody's like. Seems like the times I've been at a restaurant on Mother's Day, there's a lot of angry people
in
the restaurant.
That's why you don't go on days. You don't go on Valentine's Day. You don't go on Mother's Day, Father's Day. You don't do that. You do like the day before or a couple days before.
Is that what you do?
Yeah, well, that's why I say the 12 days of Mother's Day, because you do it on another day.
Yeah.
You
Oh, by the way, did I call you Colleen when I introduced you?
I think you did.
Yeah,
yes.
But your name's Sophie, isn't it?
See, that comes back to that notes and listening thing.
wait a minute. Now I'm confused. It is Sophie, right?
No, it's Colleen. It's good.
Well, who's
Colleen O'Grady?
Who's Sophie?
I don't know.
Wow.
Colleen O'Grady.
Yeah.
Mm. Oh, my goodness.
I've had you on the show like six times, and then it's like, what? What?
So you're saying basically the 12 days is like just do little things, you know, make a card. How about like a little, like I love texts. Like if my hubby will text me and be like, hope you're having a great day. Love you. Boom. I am like the happiest person ever. My little boy goes out and he'll pick a flower. I don't like store-bought stuff. I don't like bought cards. I don't like purchased flowers. I like just those little personal things. Well, I think a lot of moms are like that.
Yeah. It's the thoughtfulness. It's like your husband saying, you know, I tell you what, I will take care of the babysitter and you go out, or I will take care of everything at home and you have a good time with your friends. Hmm. Like that would mean the world to you, right?
Yeah. I mean, it'd be fun, you know, to just be like, oh, okay, cool. I have my time. Awesome.
I just got a text from my wife.
Uh-oh.
Sophie. Just got a, it's Sophie. No, that's not her name. But she says, yes, I want that purse.
But you better get the right color, the right purse.
Well, the trouble is she's listening to this segment.
Yeah, so you can't get the purse now, can you?
It's over.
Yeah, forget it.
It's over for me.
Yes.
So just be thoughtful. Listen, pay attention, be thoughtful.
Yeah.
And don't be a loser.
and then, you know, you help your kids get on board too.
Mm-hmm.
So it really is the good news. It's like so simple.
Yeah.
So one is doing a chore before mom has to ask.
Boom.
That would go a long way.
Mm-hmm. I've been trying that. I think you're right. That does work. You know, I just all of a sudden she walks in the room and I've got the vacuum cleaner running. I mean, I think that's impressive, right?
Or it scares her.
Yeah. What's happened to you?
Yeah, right. What's Why are you vacuuming? What are you hiding?
Yeah, what's your hidden agenda?
What did you spill? All right. The book is called Dial Down the Drama, and it's just, you've done a bunch of books along those lines, haven't you? Or is that just the one?
It's the one.
See, this is how clueless I am about everything.
Notes and listening. Notes.
But what it is, it's the drama when you're at home. You know, it's like mothers and daughters and mm-hmm. mothers and sons and husbands and concubines, whatever it is. It's like the whole deal. Dial down the drama and your life is going to be better. It's a great book. It's in the store at philhewlettandfriends.com. Look it up, buy it, read it, and you'll have a better life because
Live
of it.
By it.
Colleen O'Grady. No relation to Sophie Grady.
Mm-hmm. It's no relation.
Always a pleasure having you on the program.
All right.
It honestly is. And happy Mother's Day.
Yay.
Thank you so much.
All right. There she goes.
There she goes. Notes and listening. It's
what?
Not that. Yeah.
What?
Who are you? Why are we here? What are we doing?
All right. We have a few more Mother's Day notes and some stories that you just will not believe. And that's why I'm glad Kelly's here today, because she gathers up some of the strangest things that you'll never hear anywhere else. And that's what this show is about. And our last segment is next here on Phil Hewlett and Friends.
In sports, speed is everything. When it comes to headache relief, speed is the only thing. Introducing Goody's Headache Relief Shot, the all-new liquid fast formula. Just screw off the top, down the shot, and knock back pain for fast, long-lasting relief. Leave headache pain behind with Goody's Headache Relief Shot. Available now at Walgreens.
Here's a great idea for your next outing. A cruise of the L.A. Harbor on a Spirit Cruises yacht. Whether you have a large party, a company outing, wedding reception, a reunion, or you need the perfect setting for a romantic evening, Spirit Cruises offers everything you need to relax and enjoy your time on the water. For a limited time, enjoy Sunday brunch at Portsacall Waterfront Dining right next door. And the first Spirit Cruises Harbor Cruise of the day is free. For more information, call 310-548-8080 or visit spiritmarine.com.
All right, it's our last segment of this episode of Phil Hewlett and Friends. Kelly J is here with me. I'm
Hello.
Phil. Hi, how's it going? Nice to see you.
How's it going?
There are 9 states with more cows than people.
I'd love to see that freeway system.
Yeah. Idaho.
Yeah.
Iowa.
Mm-hmm.
Kansas.
Mm-hmm.
Montana.
Mm-hmm.
Nebraska.
Mm-hmm.
North Dakota,
mm-hmm.
Oklahoma,
mm-hmm.
South Dakota.
Mm-hmm.
I snuck Oklahoma in between the Dakotas.
The
did
Dakotas,
you see how
yeah,
I did
I saw that?
That.
Well played. Bookends.
And which one did I leave out?
I don't know.
Kind of along the same lines.
Round you're doing the, that geography
around the,
thing
around the
again,
Dakotas
right?
And Montana and all of that.
Right
there and like next
Utah.
To Idaho.
Ain't you,
Wyoming.
Oh, there you go.
Wyoming.
Oh, my God. And they have more cows than people.
Mm-hmm. Mm. All nine of those states. Yeah.
Nobody wants to live there anyway.
Mm-mm.
No, nothing going on.
All right. So everybody's got apps on their phones,
mm-hmm.
right? And they're getting more and more elaborate.
Exactly. Well, now, you know how we had, like back in the day, you had the car phones that were just in the car. And then we had the bricks. Everybody remembers the bricks.
Yeah.
And then it went to, oh my gosh, and we have flip phones. And how tiny can your flip phone be? You lose it in your purse.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, everything started getting bigger. And now we have tablets and the, you know, our smartphones are bigger. Well, we're kind of morphing back again when it comes to apps. So it looks like they're starting to test different apps, and the icons for those are going to come in black and white.
Black and white icons?
Yes.
Why are people colorblind and that's a good thing?
Well, basically, so last week looks like Instagram began testing a new monochromatic design, and it looks like somebody with eye people. I don't even care about eye people because eyes are evil. Anyway, they started doing some changes with like Apple Music and things like that with just a black and white icon. And basically, it makes sense because they put so much into that icon and the color schemes and all that stuff that it actually takes away from your phone's ability to process other things. So they're thinking they're just going to back it down a little bit.
Yeah.
Regress it back down to just black and white. But then when you get into, you know, Instagram, you get into iTunes or Google or Apple Music or whatever, that's when you're going to have more, you know, grabbing you out. And I think that even Apple Music said that, you know, they're going to start kind of playing a little bit more with the album covers once you get in there. And that's still going to be kind of black and white as well, because it makes it easier to actually look at for our eyes as well, because we're not focused on all these different colors.
But it's going to use less data, probably.
It's going to
use
less data, a lot less processing, and all that kind of stuff. So if you look at the F for Facebook or you know, the bird for Twitter, you're going to know what it is, whether or not it's black and white or color.
I guess. I wonder if people are going to have some kind of a subconscious withdrawal when they see that sort of thing.
Almost like nobody likes change. Yeah. You know, they have a hard time dealing with change. So of course they will.
Yeah.
But it makes sense.
You ever remember the band Chumbawamba?
Oh yeah, totally.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They have an album that apparently
their only album.
It
right?
owns the record for the longest album title.
Oh, for real?
Yeah.
What is it?
It's the let me get the full one. The boy bands.
And this is the name of the album?
Have one, but there's a longer version of the album title.
Okay.
It's hang on a second. I'm bringing it up the picture right now, and
can you read it?
I need a bigger version.
Do you need a black and white picture?
It's called The Boy Bands Have Won and All the Copyists and the Tribute Bands and the TV Talent Show Producers Have Won If We Allow Our Culture to Be Shaped by Mimicry, Whether From Lack of Ideas or From Exaggerated Respect, You Should Never Try to Freeze Culture. What you can do is recycle that culture. Take your older brother's hand-me-down jacket and restyle it, refashion it, to the point where it becomes your own. But don't just regurgitate creative history or hold art and music and literature as fixed, untouchable, and kept under glass. The people who try to guard any particular form of music are like the copyists and manufactured bands, doing it the worst disservice. Because the only thing that you can do to music that will damage it is not change it, not make it your own, because then it dies, then it's over, then it's done. And the boy bands have won.
That's why they were a one-hit wonder right there. Oh, my God. Is that seriously?
That's the title of their album.
I didn't know that. But don't they shorten it? Because I'm going to go to the record store and I'm going to buy Chumbawamba's.
Now, our executive producer, Mike Stark, thought Fiona Apple had the longest album name. But it's not that long,
is it? Looking at you like, what? He did say this.
I don't know the name of the album, but I know she had a long-ass album.
Yep. Is that should be the title right there.
Yeah. Long ass album.
Right.
I can tell you, though, I love Fiona Apple because she's just a haunting, scary lady.
Yeah.
And she did what I thought was one of the best. Listen to this. Like endless rain. She's a hot mess, isn't she?
She has a very nice voice, though.
I like this version of Across the Universe by the Beatles almost as much, if not more, than I like the Beatles version.
I've never heard this. This is good.
And it is good, and it gets better, and it's one of those where you listen with headphones because it's got all kinds of interesting sounds and that sort
different
of thing.
Different layers.
So, yeah, that's my little Fiona Apple thing.
You got
for
a crush,
day.
Huh?
Yeah, well. Yeah.
We're not going to go there?
Ever since she dated that that creepy magician guy, the one that walks around and kind of drones on the sidewalks and does card tricks. And
is that Chris dude?
He walks up and says, "Want to see something?"
Oh, no. Somebody, like, approach me. I'd be like, 911.
David Blaine.
Yeah.
No clue who that is.
Freaky.
Don't care, apparently.
Freaky dude. Mm. You know what else? I miss him still when David Bowie passed.
Talk about a creative, could be scary kind of guy, but yeah.
Yeah.
I miss him too.
You found some interesting tidbit about him.
I did. Well, okay. Black Star was his last album. It was released January 8th, and it was a couple days before he passed away. Well, they made 5,000 vinyl albums. I love how vinyl. See, retro, things are coming back.
Yeah.
So they sold the 5,000 in the UK, and people were really, like, ticked about the album cover. They're like, what is this? It took 5 minutes to design. There's no creativity behind it, blah, blah, blah. Until somebody recently realized they left it exposed to, a bright light or the sun.
Yeah.
And there actually is this beautiful star field that comes shining through the black star on the vinyl album.
No kidding.
And nobody knew about it.
There was hidden artwork.
Hidden artwork from Bowie. So from the outers, he still touches us.
But it's not the CD. You got to buy the 12-inch
album. You got to buy the album, and you can't because they're not available anymore.
No.
Boom. Bowie, baby.
Drop the mic from the grave. Hey, we love your comments. Click contact at philhewlettandfriends.com. That's our website, by the way. It's on the internet. We're on Twitter, too, at Faf Show, PHAF Show. We're on Facebook. Like us, follow us, do all those things. Thanks to our executive producer, Mike Stark.
Thanks, Mike.
Our producer, Brooke Peterson.
Thanks, Brooke.
And our production assistant, Ryan Hayden, who insists that we don't thank him because he's not here. Our theme song is composed and performed by Russ Monson. Isn't it nice? For Kelly J and all the friends, I'm Phil Hewlett. Can't wait to talk to you next time on Phil Hewlett and Friends.
In sports, speed is everything. When it comes to headache relief, speed is the only thing. Introducing Goody's Headache Relief Shot, the all-new liquid fast formula. Just screw off the top, down the shot, and knock back pain for fast, long-lasting relief. Leave headache pain behind with Goody's Headache Relief Shot, available now at Walgreens.
I want to tell you about a spectacular dining experience. It's Ports a Call Waterfront Dining, award-winning service and cuisine with a view of the dynamic L.A. Harbor from every seat. Enjoy daily sunset specials as well as the South Bay's best champagne brunch. The outdoor harborside patio is a perfect setting for happy hour every weekday from 3 to 8. Ports a Call Waterfront Dining. For reservations and directions, visit portsacalldining.com or call 310-833-3553.